hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
What's the title of our sermon series called? God, I want. And it means?
I love you.
Today we're going to be looking at the new acronym. You guys are probably getting sick and tired of these acronyms. Are you getting tired of them? Not at all. All right, good. Here it is, HNL. What does HNL stand for? If you're playing in a game, and I'm going to talk about this, you're playing in a game and someone texts you, you're going to go HNL. This is a hard one, though. Oh, is it up there? There it is. What does HNL stand for? We're going to go, and it's a play on words, we're going to go a whole nother level. And it's there's no another. It's not Britain, not PC. Like it's another. It's whole nother level. So here's the thing. I was playing. My son has a new Xbox One, and we were playing a video game. And he's logged me into a special account, and I'm playing this game. John and I were talking about this the other day, and there's a part in the game where it's getting late. I'm sorry. I'll be honest. It's around 3 a.m. It's that kind of addictive game, and I only play this game when I know I can kind of sleep in the next morning. You know, I'm being responsible, good stewards with my time. So I'm playing the game, and there's this tenacity. You know what tenacity is? Like, you just say, I gotta level up. I'm at level 13, and I've bought a shield that you can only use at level 14, so I'm already prophetically getting ready for level 14. And I want to get there. I got to do all these extra side missions and quests so I can level up. And just, I finished one mission. This guy had lost something in the ocean, so I dove in and I got it. And I saw my bar go a little bit wrong. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing in the middle of a bazaar, and it's like, this guy go all gold. I'm now level 14, a whole nother level. And I felt, this is the first time I'm using a video game illustration for a sermon. That's a whole nother level. No, I'm just saying, here's the thing, is as you get to that level 14, all of a sudden I have a higher sense of abilities and capabilities. I could do more. I could be more. I have more wisdom. I'm older. I'm more this. I'm going to a whole nother level, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen? Okay. So let's get to work. First things first, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the text. So the big black thing that you see people walking around with like this, if you have your Bibles, you're going to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're going to, here it is, Luke 10. And we're going to start off at 25. This is an iconic piece of scripture. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. So Luke 10, and we're going to start at 25. I'm using the NIV, and it's going to be up on our screen in about 9 seconds. Here it is. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what's written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, well, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I kind of speed it up like that because that's what, in my mind, a teacher of law would say. Jesus says, you've answered correctly. He replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said this, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity. On some versions, it says he took mercy. He had mercy for him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, look after him. He said, when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 men do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Our exegesis starts with content plus context equal meaning. Let's start with the content. Number one, the cultural understanding is crucial here. This road from Jerusalem to Jericho is treacherous. If you go there even to this day, they haven't changed the road. It's full of switchbacks and turns, and robbers will just hide, and they'll wait and ready to pounce on you, and they'll hear this guy coming down the road, I've had a great day at work, and they'll pounce on him, and then take all of his money. That was a known fact. That's why it was silly of you, it was foolish of you to kind of walk this road morning, noon, or night alone. You always went strength with numbers. But this man in the story was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got pounced on, and he got beaten to the inch of his life. Notorious for thieves and enemies. I love that. I think it's in Tolkien. He goes, the enemies, he always called them. Enemies to lie in waiting. The man that got beaten to the inch of his life is ethnically void. We don't know if he's Jewish or if he was Samaritan or North African. We don't know. It was just the man. The priest here in this case was on his way home from the big city. He's probably done his temple work in Jerusalem, on his way back to Jericho, on his daily commute. Don't want to upset the flow to my day and my traffic plans. Maybe he's listening to Podbean or podcast and he's just zooming down the road. The Levite was connected to the priesthood. The historical priesthood had to keep clean. Passages like Leviticus 21 would have told us that it was prohibitive. You weren't allowed to touch dead things. And then a Samaritan. It's just not another Jewish person. There's so much emotional and historical baggage between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. The Jews and the Samaritans had repulsion. They abhorred them. They didn't want anything to do with these people. I love how Jesus uses the Samaritan in this story. That's content. Context. The priest, for us, connects to our busy schedules. He couldn't make time for the situation. The Levite connects us to our prejudice. The Levite prejudges the situation and makes the call that he's already dead. Didn't he? He just kind of went like this. Oh, he's dead. Like, gotta go. I can't touch the dead things. So he might be like, I'm mostly dead. No, he's like, no. He's like, you're dead. You know, and then he just, off he goes. Then the Samaritan, here it is, if you got the, Faulty Towers, Mighty Python thing, mostly dead, thank you. The Samaritan goes H&L, whole nother level, here it is, check this out. See, the Samaritan could have just took the man, propped his head on a stone, and said, you're good, right? Like, you got this, right? But he doesn't. The Samaritan goes a whole nother level. He puts him on his donkey and takes him to the inn. What does that mean for us? He completely sacrificed his entire schedule for him. What if his mom and his wife or his kids were waiting for him going, look, I got a nice lamb and some potatoes in the oven. Where's my husband? Because he doesn't even think about that. He's like, I have to save this man's life. So he puts him on the donkey and says, hey, man, it's okay. I know we have issues, man. Our people hate each other, but right now I have to save your life. And puts him on the donkey and redirects. I can imagine Siri going, proceed to the route. Proceed to the route. This is my route. I have to save his life. But the priest, he's like, look, I got to go. I got to get home. I'm on my commute listening to the radio. Just blinders, right? The Levite's like, even if he is mostly dead, I can't touch it. I got to go. The Samaritan dives in. He uses oil and wine. Those are very expensive commodities back then. He just pulls it out. And he just imagine, like, there's dirt. I remember when I was a kid, quick story. Do you have time for a story? Here's a story. I got hit by a car. It was one of those things, you know, when you're on a bike like this and you stop at an intersection and the lady in the car goes, no, you go. And I said, I'm a very good Englishman. I said, no, you go. And she's like, no, you go. So I went, bam, I got hit. I'm like, oh, and I fall. Like, I'm falling in and there's traffic coming and I'm like, oh, like, it's just, it wasn't a high impact hit. But I got up and I was angry and I started going up to the window. I said, you stupid woman. And I'm yelling at her. And then all of a sudden the shock. And I said, I'm not done talking to you. I have to go lie down. You know, there's problems when you are just about to get into an argument when you had to tell them, look, let's pin this discussion. I have to lie down for a second. So anyways, I come to, a doctor was coming to work. He throws me into his little Civic, pulls me into the emergency, and they start to clean up my wounds. And I had gravel in my arm. And they put all the freezing agent in, and then they just literally opened up this scrubbing brush into a pan. I could just hear the gravel, cling, cling, cling. But the Samaritan didn't have that. He's just picking the wounds clean, and he's like, what do I have? Kind of widow's oil again. What do I have in the cupboards? What do I have on my donkey? I have oil and wine. Well, I was going to save that for dinner. Oh, but that's my oil and wine. You know what? That's how many times have we said, that's my blah, 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 blah. I can't use it for God's mission and his kingdom. This is my stuff. But he's like, no, I'm going to pour. And can you do it nicely? No, it's like glug, 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 glug. Just cleans him. The healing properties of olive oil just starts immediately cleanses all the dirt and the grime and the blood. And then the acidity and the alcohol content in the wine starts to disinfect the wounds. Imagine that conversation when you got home. Honey, where's the oil and wine? It saved a man's life. And he goes to the inn, whole nother level. He says, hey, innkeeper, I only got enough. He's like, no, tend to this man. Restore this man. I got to go home. And when I come back, I will reimburse you for whatever Netflix things that he paid for, whatever mini bar stuff that he ate. I have it. And then what he doesn't do is he doesn't do the bait and switch. He doesn't say, but don't let him go because I have to tell him the gospel. Come into our potluck, but we're not gonna feed you yet. We gotta do the message first. Doesn't do the bait switch. Because when you do kingdom work, I think half the time when you're doing kingdom work, you're not even thinking about it. You just do it. It should be natural. It should be like, this is just a normal thing for us. How many times have I been driving with my family and we see this guy zoom past us as a crazy driver? And I tell my family, I most likely will have to stop whatever we're doing because I have to go and be a first responder and save that man's life. You have that mentality. It's like when we saw one time we were in the middle of the car driving along, there was a car crash right there. What did Dad do? I parked the car and I ran into the fire. I ran into the accident. Went up to the man and said, don't move. Yeah. I'm fine. No, you could have broken your back. While everyone else is walking by taking cell phone pictures. What are you doing? Are you a spectator at church, or are you running towards the fire? Are you running towards the accident? Saying, don't move, you've broken your spine. That's what the Samaritan man done. He went a whole nother level. That's what Jesus is saying. You want to talk about neighbors? That's the kind of neighbor I want. Then he says to the man, so who showed mercy? And that man, still so offended because of the issue between Samaritans and Jewish, he doesn't even say the Samaritan. Do you notice the text? The content? He says, the man who showed mercy. Who's prejudiced now? Here's the meaning. South City is moving, I believe, into a whole nother level. Amen? So what do we need to do? Like the game that I was playing, you have to do everything in your physical power and then trust God for the supernatural. Amen? Are you? Are you leaning in and getting the work done? Are you sitting on the couch, eating a lot of chips, and getting fat and blind like Eli? No way. Not on my watch, amen? And be here. Let me speak right to you as the priests of your home. Not on your watch. You see your kids? Come on now. Not on your watch. Like that video game, we need to do everything to level up. We need to serve our community, and we have to serve our congregation with all that we have. Because we have that engine room, that I love that engine room, is we got to keep stoking those fires. And so last time we did engine room repair, we started, and then I look back about half an hour later, more people have filled the back. What if our engine room prayer meetings was this whole room? And we're just like, we're here, Pastor. Let's pray. We're leaning in. We want to go to a whole nother level. Why? Because God is good. Because God is doing something in our midst. We're hopeful for more abilities and capabilities to come out of leveling up. I'm already having these conversations with Makayla about a spiritual gift that had started to bud and be fruitful when she was a child, and now she's moving into it as if God is breathing His ruach, His Shekinah glory, His presence, as He's breathing over Makayla, and that gift is starting to flourish again. There might be gifts that you haven't been accessing or abilities or capabilities that you haven't done for years. And all of a sudden, you feel like maybe this is the time and someone has a cancer and you come and you haven't touched a person for prayer for 10, 20, 30 years. And you go, oh, I don't know, Lord. And then you go, in Jesus' name, healed. And boom, that's when it happens. Can you imagine? But a lot of us, we're shut down. We've been stuck at level 10. You even said, 14, John, I can't even get to 11. I'm stuck. Well, let's get unstuck today. Amen? And it's not, I'm going to do nothing in this job. I'll help you, I'll pastor you, I'll care for you, but Holy Spirit's going to do the leveling up. Amen? We want to see our ministries in this church not double. I believe that God is going to see our ministries in our church triple in size. We will see not a few people in the tank. We will see tens to hundreds of people in the tank this year. I will be inundated with training and equipping opportunities and mentoring new leaders that I won't have time to go get a cup of coffee. People will just say, John, here's your coffee. They'll just put it into my arm, whatever. That's what it's about. That's not because I want to be busy. As you guys have mentioned, you have such a short period of time on earth. Imagine if we all said, I want to get to 50 years in marriage. That's my hope. Number two, God wants to take you, so that's the church. God wants you personally to level up. That's my prayer. That's what I'm praying personally for you. Relationships that are kind of flatlining, I believe God, as you allow God into your relationships, they will flourish like never before. Your marriages will flourish and bud. You're going to have to do some heart work. You might have to do some things that you might have to get to work in your marriage. But I believe in the name of Jesus that your marriage will go to a whole nother level. Amen. Your relationships and friendships will go to a whole nother level. Emotionally, you'll become more grounded and established to take on these new challenges. Because that's part of the game too. As soon as you level up, the missions get harder. They don't get easier. They just get harder. So emotionally, you need to be equipped. Mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually. I believe that God is going to enrich you and equip you for the missions that are going to come down the pipe. Spiritually, you'll go to a whole nother level. The engine room, the prophetic. You'll get baptized in the Spirit of God. You have the boldness to share the gospel like never before. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just like those opportunities where as you commute, you're not commuting just to get home. The commute is the adventure. For that priest, and it's crazy that the priest just keeps just trucking along doing his 9 to 5. But as for us, we need to look at everything that we're doing as an opportunity to share the gospel. Do you love your church? Like seriously, do you love your church? You know how many times since we've been in this country, we've invited total strangers to our church. We just go straight up. Cypress and I were at St. Martin's picking up from school, from Hillview. We were at the, New World? And a cop was walking. And I just said to this cop, I said, hey man, my son wants to be a cop. And he stopped. He's like, that's really great. Boom, we had a conversation. He just moved down from Auckland. He's literally riding a bike until his stuff arrives. And I say, hey, man, that's exactly where we're at. But I got a car. I'll give you a ride. Exchange numbers. He's encouraging Cypress to be a cop. That's what happens. You have to take it to a whole nother level. It's not about your time anymore. It's God's time. So when I go to the Korean place at the market over here where they have Korean fried chicken, it's so good. We're right. You stole half my chicken. But there's an opportunity to talk about Jesus, and that's about church. That's my heart, is that you would create space right beside you for the person that you invited to church. Wouldn't that be great? But Pastor, this is my seat since the dawn of time. I've been sitting in this quadrant of the church since the building of this church. Okay, well, just get another seat and put it right beside you. You keep your seat, but then this guy that you invited from the car wash, or this guy that was part of your play group, or this person, and you follow it up. I got his cell phone number, the cop. I'm going to call him. Hey, man, do you need a ride? Who cares if he's a cop? He's a guy. He needs Jesus. Amen. Number three, God wants us, this goes into the next thing, is he wants us to move missionally or mission ready into our city and into our community to a whole nother level. Amen. You'll begin, as God gives you the vision, you'll begin to see opportunities and you will intentionally slow down, but don't cause accidents. You'll slow down, not like the priest, and you'll seek out God opportunities with the people along your journey. You'll start to just, you'll gear down a bit. And then when you get home and your partner says, what happened? Well, yeah, well, I went to go fill up and I talked to this guy over meat pies and he's actually coming to church tomorrow. That's why I'm late, baby. And she's going to go, oh, that's awesome. Did you bring the oil and the wine? Number thing that will happen is when God starts giving you vision is you will not make prejudicial calls about people or places or events like the Levite did. Maybe when you see a person and you're like, oh, you know what? It's all handled. The pastor will talk to that person. No. I'll do this half. You do the rest. You have to take every opportunity. Don't assume anything. That's why I tell you it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was amazed how biblically illiterate people are in Canada, where I would say, turn to this book, and they'd be like, I have no idea where they're going. And they're like looking at their friends going, what book? Do you have red letters? Mine doesn't have red letters. We've been going to church for 10 years. Don't assume anything. More on that as you get to know me. Maybe you need to look at like the light party as this is the opportunity where you get to serve. It's one night, 2 hours. And you get to laugh at yourself. Here's the thing is you get to do the craziest things. You don't have to be all prim and proper. Dress up like a clown. Put face paint on people. Make popcorn. I think I'm doing first aid and security and setup. Whatever it is. But don't assume that it's getting covered. Be the first person going, I think I need to take 2 or 3 of these. Matt, come into a posture of saying, you've actually taken on too much. Have you thought about that? But if we just prejudicially prejudge and say, it's handled. And then when that person's organizing and going, man, I was missing 10 people. Maybe it's your turn to go to the next Fiji outreach trip. But Pastor, I'm 95 years old. I don't care. As long as the doctor has said that you can travel to Fiji without dying, you can go on a missions trip. Well, I know it's funny, but I've had so many people come up to me like, well, those mission days are over. And my next question is, who said? Who said are they over? Well, you know, I'm a grandparent and I have things to do and people to see. And I'm like, no, you don't. You could go for Fiji for a month and we'd leave you there. And you'll come back later. Right, Paul? Like, there's opportunities. And not like the Levite, you might have to glove up. You might have to glove up and get into the blood and the mud of other people's lives. That image of pouring the oil and the wine on wounds, it's graphic, isn't it? And there's a part of you that, like some of you guys don't like the sight of blood, and I get it. But there's a part of it too, is like when you see that, you don't rush into that. And I think in your own spirit, you shouldn't. I think you should be waiting on God and saying, God, is this when I need to engage? Last story, and then I'll call it. I'm a groundwater engineer by trade, so I'm the guy that does the water wells and stuff. And I thought I would never use my trade in the mission field, but then I was on a trip to Nepal. I was in Kathmandu. And our leaders were setting up some time in the jungles. So southern Nepal, northern India. And so I was in this jungle, and this before I went to the trip, the guy from the village said, does anyone you know, is a water engineer? And our leader's like, let me talk about it. He was like, how long have you been waiting and praying for a water engineer or a Pani engineer? They've been praying for a water engineer for 13 years. No one has ever come. They do like everything but. And then my leader turned and said, hey, John, aren't you like a water engineer? And I have been praying, God, I want to level up here. I want to not just do the gospel. I want to leave something behind. And that person, the Nepalese guy, almost like threw a fit. He's like, oh my gosh. So I went to this village with the team, I had 10 other people. And I was supposed to move, like survey this huge water project from a 5,000 gallon tank all the way to their village. And surveying back then, it's still to this day in primitive places, you do this thing called chaining. You have a 50 meter chain. And you just go into the jungle and keep as straight as you can. So here I am, not my team, I am doing it with this Nepalese guy. I'm wearing big, huge hiking boots. He's wearing flip-flops or jandals. All day into the night, I'm chaining 50 meters on and on and on. I come back, it's getting late. You could tell it's dinner time. In India, Nepal, you start hearing the pressure cookers go psst. I come into the village, and I am sweating from head to toe. I have been in the jungle, only to find out later that they have the highest concentration of tigers. Thanks for letting me know later. After the fact. So I come in and I think I'm done, right? Is that how sometimes we are feeling? I think we're done. I've done my part, John. And I'm sweaty and bloody. The jungle is not kind to you. And the sweat, the blood, the mud. And then the guy comes up to me from the village, very thankful. He goes, "Thank you for doing this work. But now you will preach the gospel." And I look at my team going, they've been just kind of chilling and relaxing. But why me? Like there's 10 other people. But you sweat, bled, and you're muddy. You're now part of our village. You have to preach the gospel. And that's the invitation for you. Is I want you to bleed with me. I want you to sweat with me. I want you to deal with people with all their wounds. And it's like I prayed this morning, it's going to get messy, but it's going to be good.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.